Thank you. I want to praise God for his goodness, for his love, and for all the wonderful things that he has in storage for us. And today, we want to study the word. The title of the sermon is Learning to Number Our Days. 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 You know, when I was a small, I used to count the days that we had left into Christmas. I was literally counting. I think I used to start counting the days in the summer, back in July. I start counting the days. I was looking forward for the gifts, what I was going to get for Christmas. But I remember those days were like slow, would take forever. I remember counting the days for my birthday. See, I used to count the days when I was small. I used to have expectation for those days. And yesterday, as I was thinking about this, I started looking up and see that we have 53 days left into Thanksgiving. We have 53 days left into Thanksgiving. In 53 days, we are going to get together, God willing, with our loved ones, eat turkey, and celebrate. We have 83 days into Christmas Day. 83 days into Christmas Day. And we have 90 days into New Year's. 90 days. We are ready October the 3rd. We close another year in about 90 more days. It's going to be over when we start 2022. When we look at the Bible, the Word of God tells us that our lifespan is around 80 years old. A person will live around 80 years old. Some will live to 70, some will live to 80. If we are going to live to 80 years old, how many days do we have left to live? If we are going to live until we are 80 years old, how many days do we have left to live? Think about this. How many days you got left on this earth? That's a big question. That's a big question. And the Bible tells us that there is a benefit on knowing the answer. There is a benefit on knowing how many days we got left. What is the benefit of knowing how many days we have left to live? See, we count how many days we got into a birthday. My daughter just had a baby. She was counting the days when the baby was going to come. We count when Thanksgiving is coming. We count when how many days we got left into Christmas. We count to how many days we have into New Year's. We count these things, but we also need to learn how to count how many days we have left to live. What is the benefit of knowing how many days we have left to live? And the Bible will answer this for us today. Moses, he wrote a beautiful psalm, Psalm 90. That's what we are going to be today, Psalms 90, a psalm of Moses. Moses wrote this beautiful psalm, the psalm. Maybe he wrote it after 40 years in the desert. Look at how the first generation that came out of Egypt died. How his sister Miriam died. His brother Aaron died. Then how he was punished or disciplined by God and not would be able to enter in the promised land because of his disobedience to the Lord. Then after seeing all these things, Moses reflects on the life, reflect on what was going on, how the first generation, one after another, were dying and dying and getting buried in the desert and dying and dying. How his loved ones were dying. How he was missing a lot of blessing. He was going to miss the big blessing to enter the promised land because of sin, because of disobedience against God. Then he writes a song. He writes about this. He will reflect in the person of God. He will reflect on his existing. How he is eternal. How God is almighty, all powerful. He called him a refuge for every human being. For all generations, he is the refuge. And he also make a contrast with the life of a human being. How their lives are brief. How their lives are like, he would call it like a flower of the grass of the day. So Moses is going to show us how our life is compared to the Lord's eternity. Our life is brief and our life is temporary. Moses will compare how our life is brief and temporary compares to the Lord. The Lord is eternal. The Lord created heavens and earth. The Lord gave existence to everything that exists. The Lord gave us life and also put an end to our lives. When he decides, he calls us back to the dust. He is God. We are only like the grass in the morning, the flowers and withers at night. So let's look in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 90 or Psalms 90. How Moses described the person of God, the eternal God. So Psalms 90, verse 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place or refuge through all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Adonai, Almighty God. See, he always has existed. He's the one that created everything that exists. He created the mountains. He created the seas. But not only that, he also gave human beings the existence. He created the first human being. He's the one that gives us life. And Moses said that the Lord is our refuge. He has been the refuge for every human being that have lived on this earth. Even if these people recognizing us Lord or not, the Lord has provided with rain, with the air that we breathe, with the life that we have. He has been a refuge from generation to generation to generation to generation. Humans have come and goes and comes and goes, and God has been a refuge for every one of them. Verse 4, he tells us that the Lord Almighty, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day. that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. See, the Jew, they would divide their evenings or their nights in three parts, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's the first watch. From 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., that's the second watch. Then from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., that's the third watch. So the watch basically was of 2 hours, 4 hours. And that's how 1,000 years, Moses say, is for the Lord. Like 4 hours. Or like yesterday, it's like nothing. He is the eternal God. God is eternal. He doesn't have beginning or end. He has been a refuge through all generations. He has created the heavens and earth. Oh God Almighty. So our lives compared to the Lord's is brief and temporary. He is eternal. He put limits to human life. He gave us life and also put limits to our days. Look in verse 3 of Psalms 90. It says, "You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals." That language that he used is the same language that he used when he wrote Genesis. When the man was created from the dust, and because of his sin and disobedience to the Lord, he will have to be punished, and he will have to die. In this case, he will go back to the dust. In other words, the Lord gives us life, and the Lord also put an end to our lives. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to the dust, you mortals." They say the Lord is so powerful and so eternal that he is sweep people away like the dream of the night. When you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning, it seems like the time went so fast. You're trying to remember what you just dreamed last night. You can't even remember. It was fast. The hour seems like minutes. When you close your eyes, you woke up in the morning. Look at verse 5. Or Psalm 90. He said, yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. That's how our life comes to an end. It's brief. Come sweep people away like a flood, like a water, like a rain, like a storm. Generations after generations have been born, have been living, and also have been went back to the dust. The Lord has put an end to their lives. Generation after generation, he has been a refuge. He gives life, and he also put an end to their lives. But not only that, Moses also compared us humans to God, that we are like a grass in the morning. It's green. Then the night, it's already withered, dying. Look in verse 6. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up new. But by the evening, it is dry and withered. He used a metaphor to show us how brief and temporary is our life. How brief is our life on this earth? 1,000 years is like 4 hours to the Lord. It's like yesterday that has passed. But our lives are brief. We are like the grass, like the flower. In the morning we springs up new, green, beautiful, but the evening is dry and withered. When Moses speaks of the morning, he's speaking the length, the span of our lives. To us, it seems long. But really, it's not. We're there. Our life is fast, brief, and temporary. So our lives compared to the Lord's is brief and temporary. It's brief. That's why it's so important that we learn how to number our days. There is a benefit to it. There is a benefit of knowing how many days we have left to live. Think about this. What would you do if you knew how many days you had left to live? Think about it. Our lives is brief and temporary compared to the Lord's existence, who is powerful, eternal. But our life is not only brief and temporary, but also painful, full of trouble because of sin. A brief and temporary life is full of trouble and pain because of sin. Sin is the cause of pain. Sin is the cause of trouble. 70 years, 80 years, it's not too long. And most of our years, we spend our years in trouble and sorrow because our sin. So Moses start giving us pictures from verses 1 to 6, how brief and temporary our life is compared to the eternal God. And our lives are not only brief and temporary, but also are full of trouble and pain because of our sins. Because of our sins. Moses will tell us that our sins, even our deepest sins, are on the open in front of God. He can see our sins. He knows our deepest thoughts. Notice with me in verse 8. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. So what is the cause of the trouble and pain in our brief and temporary life? Sin. 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 A righteous indignation is what caused the wrath of God upon our lives. Sin, which are on the open, are in front of God. Sin. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the wrath of God. Why the human race are under the wrath of God? Why me and you were in the past under the wrath of God? Now the question is that he comes and chases us because of our sins. He comes and makes our lives miserable because of our sins. That's what God does with the human race. He comes and chases you and make your life miserable and bring you pain and cause you trouble because of your sins. Look with me real quick what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1:18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppresses the truth." See, this is the reason why the Lord reveals his wrath against human, against the human race, because of ungodliness and unrighteousness. And what the Lord does? Do he chase them? What the Lord does? Do he punish them? What the Lord does? Make their life miserable? Look what he does. Verse 21. They knew God, but they weren't worshiping as God, or even give him thanks to God. They wouldn't worship him as God. They wouldn't honor him as God. They'd rather live a life of ungodliness and unrighteousness. And what the Lord does in response, 124, God abandoned men to do whatever shameful things their heart desire. This is like you fighting with your child. Look, I already gave you one chocolate, that's enough. And your child keep fighting and fighting, one more chocolate, one more chocolate, one more chocolate. You say, no, that's enough, I already gave you one. You know, when you go and have a lot of chocolate at home, your kids want to eat the whole thing. And you know it's not good for them, so you just give them one chocolate. But they want more, they want more, and they want more. You say, no. And you get to the point, you know what, I'm fed up here. Eat the whole bag. That's the idea here. God abandoned men to do whatever shameful things their heart desire. They didn't want to honor God. They didn't want to recognize God. They want to suppress the truth that God exists. What, did God fight with them? God went after them? Did God make their lives miserable? No. He has abandoned it. He gave them away. Go ahead. You want to live a life without me? Go ahead. So he abandoned men to do whatever shameful things their heart desire. Verse 26. Again, God abandoned men to their shameful desires. Go for it. Go for it. That's what you want to do? Go for it. He gave them away. He gave them up. Go for it. You start fighting with them. Romans 1:28, God abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. So how the wrath of God is manifested against the human race? God just abandoned them to their sinful desires. In the end, men are faced with what? Death. They are faced with death. When they are sitting in the hospital, knowing that they only have a few days or hours left to live, then they come to the reality that there is God, and now they have to face him. See, our life is brief and temporary, but not only that, it's full of pain and trouble because of our sin. Because we reject God. We don't have a relationship with God. We don't want him involved in our lives. So what he does, he has abandoned us. Or he has abandoned the human race to their foolish thinking. And let them do things that they should have never done. Our sins, Moses say, are in front of God, is before him. Our secret sins are in the light of his presence. In verse 7, Moses said that we are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You know what this verse means? It means living a life without fulfillment. Life of being overwhelmed by his anger and wrath. Living a life of fear. It's like always you are facing a disaster coming up on you. That's what he say. They live like there is nothing left for them. They live a life of fear. Think about me and you in the past. And this is how we used to be. We were consumed, overwhelmed, terrified. We live with fear, no purpose, no satisfaction. In verse 9, Moses tells us that all our days passed away under your wrath. We finished our years with a moan. The sense of the language here means like, this is like you have been working so hard all day for like 12 hours. Finally, when you go to get paid, you just find out that you're not getting paid that day. You mad, you sad, you discouraged, you cry, you bitter. That's how our life is under the wrath of God. Our days passed away under your wrath. We finished our years with a moan, with a cry. That's how we finish in pain. It's like the best hours of the day are not enough. It's like working so hard, never accomplish anything. When I meditate on this verse, it takes me back some 20 years ago of my life. No matter how hard I try, I never accomplish anything. If I did, it only lasts temporary. I was not even able to enjoy all the things that I accomplished in my life before having a relationship with the Lord. Our life is brief, temporary, but also is filled with trouble and pain because of our sin, because of disobedience, because of our behavior against God. Our life is so brief. Maybe 70 years, Moses say. Some maybe live to 80. If. Psalms 19 say our days might come to 70 years or 80. If our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. 70 years. I remember when I was 12 years old. Me being selected in a soccer team for the first time. I remember when I had my first child, my second child. Now I'm a grandfather. I'm in my 40s now. Years fly. Years go by so quick. And you look back and you say, where all these years went? How many years have I wasted doing foolish things, living under the wrath and anger of God? 70 years? 80 years, said Moses. Some make it to 80, maybe. But some, most, live to 70. In those years, they say, nothing but trouble and sorrow. How many mistakes I made during those 40 years of my life? How much pain I caused others and caused myself? And I'm still paying the consequences of my actions today. Life is brief. Life is temporary. It flies away. God is eternal. He is eternal. Our life is brief and temporary. On top of that, it's full of trouble and pain because of our sins and disobedience against God. And Moses say, if people really understand how powerful is your anger, your wrath, they will consider the way they're living. They will really think about it, the way they are living. If people will really know how powerful is your wrath against them, they will worship you. They will honor you. Look at verse 11. It says, if only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that you is your due. So the judgment is according to the worship that he deserves. If we only understand this, if we only understand this for a minute, how powerful is his anger against those who living in sin, against those who willingly rejecting the grace of God. The same amount of honor and respect that he doesn't receive is the same amount of judgment that they will receive. In other words, Moses is speaking here about ignorance. We do this by ignorance. We don't know. We don't really know how powerful the anger of God is. We are ignorant about it. In the past, we didn't know. That's why we were living in ignorance. That's why we needed wisdom from above. You know, life is full of pain, sorrow, and trouble. But God can change that with satisfaction and prosperity. Yes, indeed. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter how bad. Even the outcome could be death. God can replace our pain and trouble with prosperity and satisfaction. And that's what he did. We saw why the wrath of God is being manifested against the human race. But we also have to remind ourselves that we are no longer under the wrath of God. Look what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation of wrath. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice on our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Romans 5, 9, verse 11. We are no longer under the wrath of God. In the past, we used to live with fear and trouble. We never accomplished anything. We were living a life without purpose. But today, we are no longer under the wrath of God because of what Jesus Christ did in the cross of Calvary for us. And in Jesus Christ, we have everything we need. In the past, we lived in ignorance. We didn't understand the anger and the wrath of God. But in Jesus Christ now, we got everything we need. He is our wisdom, it say Paul. Colossians 2:3, it say, in him, Christ, lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus Christ not only reconciled us with God, he not only made us right with God, but he also gave us access to God. And in him we have all the wisdom and knowledge that we need. How amazing is this? Moses has compared our lives to the eternal God. Our lives are brief and temporary. It's not only brief and temporary, it's full of pain and trouble because of our sin and disobedience against God. The wrath of God was being manifested on our lives. It's still being manifested on the lives of many and many people out there right now that doesn't have a relationship with him. Because like we did in the past, their lack of knowledge, they're living ignorant about how really powerful the wrath and anger of God is. And praise the Lord that we came to the knowledge. And the wisdom of God is going to help us to live a wisely and sinless life. We need the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of God is going to help us to live a sinless and wisely life. This is what he's going to tell us in verses 12. The wisdom of God will help us to live a wisely and sinless life. Teach us to number our days, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, that we might gain our heart of wisdom. See, the wisdom of God is going to help us to understand how brief our life is, how temporary our life is. The wisdom of God is going to help us to live a sinless life. The wisdom of God is going to help us to live for His purpose and purpose alone. And notice this. Moses said, teach us. What it means, this is a discipline and a skill that need to be learned. We don't born knowing these things. This is a discipline and a skill that need to be learned. And the only one that can teach us is God. And how we do this? By wisdom. He can give us the wisdom. We start evaluating and judging every single day. Am I doing the will of God? Am I doing what I was called to do? Am I viewing my days wisely? Am I staying away from sin? Notice this, sin was what put us under the wrath of God. Sin is what get us away from the purpose of God. So when we learn how to number our days, when we learn that our days, our lives here on earth is brief and temporary, then we start to walk away from sin. Any sin that keeps us away from the blessings of God, we start walking away from them. We learn how to number our day. We live wisely and sinless. We start making the best out of every day for the Lord. Like Paul say, be careful how you live. Don't live like the unwise. Make the best out of every day. I did the math yesterday real quick. If we are going to live 80 years, we multiply that for 365 days, we get equal 29,200 days. That's our lives. Let's say we, hopefully, I hope that we all make it to 80 or 90. That'd be nice. But we expect to live into 29,200 days. All right? Let's say you are 50 years old right now. You're 50 years old. You multiply that 365 days, it means that you already live 18,250 days. That's what you live in 50 years already. 18,250 days. Now we're going to rest this from 29,200 days. Equal 10,950 days. If you are 50 years old, it means that you only have left 10,950 days. That's what you got left of life. See, when you start counting the days, when you start evaluating how many days you have to live, you will become an expert. You will become making a judgment. You will evaluate your life. You will be asking the Lord, Lord, I'm doing the right thing with my life right now. And I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do right now, Lord. And I'm using my time wisely, Lord. See, it become a skill. Lord, teach me. Teach me to number my day, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. See, when we keep in mind and we meditate that our life is brief and temporary, we are going to stay away from sin. We are going to stay away from all those things that are keeping us away from the purpose of God. And we start living a sinless life. We start living wisely for the Lord. See, there is a benefit knowing how many days we have left to live. Yeah, we count how many days are left into Christmas. How many days are left into Thanksgiving. Yeah, but it's also important to learn how many days we got left to live. See, if we start living a sinless and wisely life, we can expect the blessings of God in our lives. We already suffer enough. We already went through a lot of problems and trials in life. Now, we can expect the blessings of God if we start living wisely and sinless. That's what he's going to tell us in verses 13 to 17. As we live a wisely and sinless life, we can expect to see God's blessing. If we have suffered for 40 years, we went through a lot of trouble and pain and sorrow because of our conduct and our action, we can expect God to bless us for another 40 years, a life of blessings. That's what Moses is going to teach us how to pray. Verse 13, he said, relent. Oh, change your mind, Lord. Change your mind, Lord. How long it will be? How long, Lord? Have compassion on your servants. He's going back to verse 10 when he's speaking about 70, 80 years full of trouble and pain. How long it will be, Lord, a life of pain and trouble. Please change your mind. Change the way you think, Lord. Change so we can start having satisfaction and joy in our lives. Satisfy us in the morning where you unfailing love, that you might sing for joy and be glad all our days. See, the word in the morning, he go back to verse 6 when that he compares the grass in the morning. It doesn't last too long being green. That's why he go back. Satisfy us in the morning, our day, satisfy our lives, bless our lives where you unfailing love has had loyal love, unfailable love, that we might sing for joy and be glad, not only brief, but all our days. When we were under the wrath of God, we had some good times. Yeah, we did. They were brief and painful. The consequences were painful. Moses is here so we can be glad all of our days. All of our days. Happiness doesn't last too long when we are under the wrath of God. But if God blesses us, it will bring satisfaction and long lasting. See, God can replace our years of misery and pain with years of satisfaction. He can. God can replace our years of misery and pain with years of satisfaction. Verse 15, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. God can bless us. He can replace our years of misery and pain with years of satisfaction. In other words, we can ask for future joy in proportion to our years of pain and misery. We all went through a lot of pain. But in that same proportion, God can bless us. And we can ask God to bless us in the proportion of our pain and misery. He can. And this is possible when we are living a sinless and wisely life. When we are counting our days. Where we are making judgment every single day of how we are using our days and our lives for the Lord. Not only that, we can ask God to show his favor to us. Verse 16, may your deeds be shown to your servants, or your favor be shown to your servants. See, when things start going well in our life, we will know that you are with us, Lord, that you are blessing us, Lord. When things start going well in our lives, then we know, Father, that you are with us, that you are blessing us. And that's what happens when we start living a sinless life and living wisely for the Lord. We can ask the Lord to manifest his word on our behalf. Let others see, Father, that you are with us. Let others see, Lord, that you are blessing us. But not only us. We can also ask the Lord to bless the life of our children. To bless the life of our children. See, we want our children to be impressed with his glory. We don't want our children to go through the pain that we went through. No, we don't. We want them to be impressed with his glory. Look at verse 16. May your splendor be shown to those children, our children. Not only give me favor, Lord, on everything I do. I just don't want to see people that you are blessing me, but also I want you to show your glory, your splendor to my children. Bless my children, Father. Allow them to know your glory. Allow them to know who you are, Father. I want my children to be blessed. I don't want my children to go through the pain I went through in life, Father. See, we can ask those things when we are living a sinless and wisely life. In verse 17, we can also ask God to bless the work of our hands, to establish the work of our hands, so our work of our hands will ever last, not only here on earth, but also in the kingdom of God. Verse 17, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish your work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Whatever we do, Lord, we might be gone out of this world, but make our work last. And you know how our work can last? How our work can be established? When we invest in the kingdom of God. When we invest in the lives of others. We might be gone out of this world, but the work of God, his work, will be established in the lives of others, and it will last for eternity in his kingdom. What amazing. What amazing. Moses, this is a prayer from Moses. Moses who saw the Lord face to face. Moses who was listening to God every single day. Moses who was close to the Lord. Moses is telling us how to pray, how to use our time, how to be wise with our time, how to number our days. How to make sure that we are doing the right thing with our lives. He shows us that our life is brief and temporary compared to the eternal and powerful God. But our life is not only brief and temporary, but it's also full of pain and sorrow, trouble, because sin. Because of sin, we are under the wrath of God. His anger upon our lives. We live a life without purpose and pain and fear. But there is hope. He can give us that wisdom to live accordingly to his purpose, to live a sinless and wise life for him. And when we start doing that, then we can expect the blessings of God upon our lives. When we are in the will of God, doing his work, doing what we're supposed to do with our lives, we can expect the blessings of God upon our lives. Now, what is the benefit of knowing how many days we have left to live? What is the benefit of knowing how to number our days? Is that we will live wisely and sinless toward the obedience that brings blessings from God. That's the benefit. We will live wisely and sinless toward the obedience that brings blessings from God. That's what we are going to do. You know, sometimes we want to do a lot of things. And we give God a lot of things. But sometimes we don't give God what he wants, what he's requiring. And sometimes what God requires from us is our time. Sometimes he don't want us to just stay busy. Sometimes he just requires our time. Our time with him. Our fellowship with him. Our time that we listen, so we are able to do his will and his purpose for our life. Think about all the things that you are doing in your life right now. Ask the Lord. Like verse 12 say, teach us to number our days. If this is what you want me to do, Lord, if this is your will for my life, if this is your will for my life, if this is your will for my life, if this is your will for my life. And you see how God will reveal you. A lot of those things that you are doing are not his will. He's requiring your time. And he wants you to give it to him. You know, I was amazed one day. As a professor, well-known professor. And in my mind, when I met him, I thought I was going to see him with an iPhone 11. You know, the brand new iPhones, the big ones. And hey, he's a professor. You know, he's well known. He wrote books and everybody know him. You know what? He had a flip-flop. A flip-flop. Yeah, the old flip-flop phones. I said, where's your phone, man? He said, I don't have a phone. This is all I got. He said, I'll tell you why I don't have a smartphone. I said, why? It was taking too much time away from me and God. He said, yeah, too much time. He said, let me see your phone. All right, open it for me. You know what? He went to settings and he went to screen time. It will show how much time that you invest on your phone every single day. And then you add up every single day to a week. You'd be amazed how much time you spend on the phone. Now I'm speaking about hours. Hours. We could have given the Lord our time. See, me and you have a lot of dreams. Me and you want to accomplish a lot of things, but we don't. You know why? Because sometimes we are not using our time wisely. Let's start counting our days. Let's start numbering our days. And let's start asking the Lord, what is that he wants us to do with the days that we have left for our lives? Father, thank you. Thank you for the time, Lord. Thank you for your patience. Father, we come before you to ask you, Lord, to help us to be wise, Father. Help us to use the life that you are giving us in a wisely manner, Father. Help us to use the days that we have left, Father. Father, for the work of the kingdom, Father. Father, we know that we're still here for a reason, Father. We are not here on earth just because there's no plans for us. No, you have a plan for us. You have a purpose for us. Help us to accomplish your purpose. Help us that our work will be, Father, established. Not only here on earth, but also on earth, on heaven, Father, in your kingdom, Lord. Help us, Father. Help us to start judging, start analyzing every single day how we are using our time. And how we are investing in your kingdom, Father. Father, thank you so much for your word, Father. Thank you so much for your everlasting word, Father. Even though this was written thousands of years ago, Father, still life, Father, today, speaking to our hearts. Father, I ask you for your blessings, Lord, your peace, your joy upon my brothers and sisters that are listening to us right now. Bless their lives, Father. Protect them. Watch them, Father. We want to thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. May God be with you. And may God protect you. And may God be with you in everything that your heart desires and your purpose for this week. Bye-bye.